I'd invite you to turn with me to conclude Acts chapter 14, that is. Just conclude with the 21st verses, 21st to 28th verses of the 14th chapter. We've been looking and walking through Acts together, and I just want to conclude this chapter before we move on. And looking next week at the significant first of the councils of the church, the Council of Jerusalem. The fortified food was what I thought of when I read how the main message that Paul and Barnabas had to do was to strengthen the disciples and encourage them to remain true to the faith. You see it there in the 22nd verse. So I ask you, and not just rhetorically, just think with me a moment, what does fortified food mean? What is fortified food? Vitamins in it, yeah. So, like, what kind of foods do you think of when you think of stuff that's got vitamins or other nutrients? I guess as I check this out, there's stuff that's not just vitamins. Folic acid can be added. Also, some of the other things like iodine can be added to it. So, I don't think iodine is one of those vitamins under classification. Iron isn't one either. So what do you think of when you think about foods that have fortification? Cereal, right. Thank you for participating. What is somebody else here? Help me out. Bread, that's a biggie. Bread. In fact, flour, I always try to get flour that's unbleached. And you see in a whole list of things that can be added to flour. So, and when you bleach it, it bleaches out the natural vitamins often. So they have to add more things to the flour to make up for what was bleached out. There's actually a word for that, which is food enrichment. When you take away by some processing or other the nutrients that are naturally in, like wheat, then you have to add the stuff that was taken out. So that's food enrichment. Food fortification, on the other hand, is adding to that which was missing. So what do you think else? Milk, yeah. What's that got added to it? Vitamin D, right. I actually have to take vitamin D because some of the medications I take apparently make it disappear in my body. Can you think of anything else? Anybody watch Dr. Strangelove or remember Dr. Strangelove? Remember the general who got up and say, they're adding fluoride to our water. Fluoridation is killing us, the general said. So fluoride's added to most municipalities' water to this day. How about salt? What's added to salt? Iodine, right. And this one I don't really even understand, but apparently eggs can be fortified in some way or other. Anybody know how you would actually fortify eggs? The chickens? Maybe it's the chicken feed. Yeah, maybe so. Well, you'll have iced tea rather than okay. So as we look at the text today, let's just hear the word. It says, they preached the good news, Paul and Barnabas did, in that city. By that city, it means Derbe. When you might recall from last week that Paul was stoned and dragged outside the city of Lystra, and thinking that he was dead. And after that, the disciples had gathered around him, and he got up and went back into Lystra. And the next day, it says there in the 20th verse, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. So it's to Derbe that it says the good news was preached in that city. And one, it goes on to say, a large number of disciples. Then they return. Now, this is almost a travelogue section of the scripture. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships, was their message, to enter the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them, the elders that they appointed, to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, this was a Roman province, so Pisidian Antioch, for instance, is differing from the Antioch from which they originally were sent. That Antioch is known as Syrian Antioch. It's right in the elbow, if you will, of Turkey and Syria. To this day, a great city. Going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, another of the provinces. And when they had preached the word in Perga, that's a city in Pamphylia, they went down then to Attalia. Attalia was a port city in Pamphylia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch. This is the Syrian Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Notice how they take none of the credit for the growth of the church in all these cities to which they had gone. It was God who did the work. All we have to do is scatter the seed, and it's God who causes the growth. And they stayed there, he goes on to conclude, a long time with the disciples. You know, that little phrase, they stayed there a long time, it occurs often in Luke's history of the church. Even in the cities in which they were persecuted severely, it often will say a little remark, and they stayed there a long time. Think of the courage that it would take to stay at a place where you were not welcome a long time. I'll tell you, there's been places where I felt like, man, I'm just not welcome here. But the Lord, you know, has his ways, and I just have often taken comfort, courage in these words as an example. You know, John Wesley often had rotten vegetables thrown at him in his preaching in various places, was ridiculed and names shouted at him, you know, to get out from here. And yet he persisted in faithfully proclaiming the gospel. And that's really all that we can do, is persist in faithfully doing what the Lord would have us do. It's not for all of us to preach, but it's for all of us to have, in some way or another, it's unique to you as it is to me, to proclaim the good news. And no matter how the response is, the Lord, God, will cause it to grow. It's up to the Lord to do as He will with our faithfulness. Here's the reading then of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Today's little passage wraps up that first missionary journey where Paul and Barnabas are sent from Syrian Antioch. Check out your Bibles when you have a moment. Just in the back of most Bibles are maps. And it's a lot better for you to see it on a map than for me to try to describe this. But Syrian Antioch, they were sent from and went to all these places which are in what's now sort of central Turkey, in the highlands of it. They visited this place that's a part of Lower Galatia. Many think that Paul's letter to the Galatians, in fact, was written because of the kind of opposition from those false teachers that you must be doing works of the law in order to be saved. For instance, Paul in the letter to the Galatians. Now remember, Galatians is written to a region, not a particular city. And those churches which had been founded, there were those who were coming, as they're known as, Judaizers, who were saying, hey, if you want to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, you've got to be, for instance, circumcised. Well, that didn't go over too well with the men, especially, of the Gentiles. In fact, that's what they were avoiding at all costs, why they were called simply God-fearers. They would go into the synagogue but stay on the outside because they didn't want to take that step. Reasonably so. So Paul had said, what? It's not by works of the law that we are saved, but it's by faith. By the grace of God through faith, as he says in Ephesians. Your righteousness is not by what you have done, but what Christ has done for you. So, as we see here, two things stand out, at least to me. First of all, is that fortification that they brought as they came back. You know, it wasn't a quicker route to go from Derbe all the way through all those other towns that they had visited. The quickest route back home would have gone from Derbe back to Syrian Antioch directly. But no, they retraced their steps all the way back till they came to the town of Attalia, where they caught a boat, and then went to Syrian Antioch. And part of their message was, as they fortified these believers in the church, that they would most definitely go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. They didn't candy coat this, did they? It's been said, many hardships are to be expected as a normal, indeed necessary, part of the Christian life. Jesus himself sets the pattern for every disciple following. That's why, you know, when I haven't been welcomed, I've almost taken that as, well, who am I to expect anything better? Jesus wasn't, Wesley wasn't, Nearly every one of the great saints that we think of from this perspective as great was not welcome. Instead, they faced hardships and distress. And so, we're just walking in the footsteps of giants when the same happens to us. If authentic Christianity, one said, is to be spread and survive, it will be because we have said no to any gospel that promises glory without suffering, and have said yes to the way of the cross, which leads to a crown of glory. The world is going to say no. And so we must persist through the hardships that we see coming so that the gospel might be glorified in all things. The principle we can glean throughout the lives of the disciples and Jesus Christ Himself is that Jesus came not to make life easy, but to make people great. Jesus, I'll repeat it, came not to make our lives easy, but to make us great as the people of His fold. This passage tells us as well that Paul and Barnabas set aside elders to lead these early churches in their absence. It says there in the 23rd verse, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting, committed them to the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. It was Saint Cyprian, a Roman Christian who was born, we don't even know exactly his birthday, but somewhere around 200, who was martyred, we know, in 258, killed for his faith, and who had become, after he gave his life to Christ and went on to show how committed he was, that he became the bishop of Carthage. Carthage was a city that the Romans had so utterly demolished that they had sown it, as the record goes, with salt so that nothing would grow. Of course, it didn't take long for the Romans to realize, hey, wait a minute, we need Carthage. And so they refounded Carthage. This was the city that Cyprian was the bishop of. And he said, one cannot have God for their father who has not the church for their mother. Paul and Barnabas knew that in order for the faith of these people here, these towns in which they had established the churches, these early churches, for people who had given their life to Christ, they knew that in order for them to remain faithful to that commitment, they had to remain together. No one, Wesley said, gets to heaven alone. We all stand on the shoulders of those who have strengthened, encouraged, fortified us. Every one of us. We can all look back upon someone somewhere in our lives who have sown the seeds and have strengthened us in the faith. Christian life is not a solitary, hermetically sealed life. It's one embarked upon and lived together. Wesley, to finish this quote, famously said, "No one ever went to heaven alone. They must either find friends or make them." Find friends or make them. Lest we miss the kingdom's goal. You know, that's what the family fun night is all about, isn't it? We need to be together. The choir. How many have had cancer in the choir? How many have lost a husband or wife? How many in this whole body of Christ together have done so? We hold each other together as a sacred, almost obligation. Christ has done for us something so unsurmountable. And yet, as Luther said, there certainly is the truth that we are little Christs for each other. So find friends, brothers and sisters, so that you might be fortified for the trials, the travails, the hardships that we will endure. The mountaintops and the valleys. For we will need company for both. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those at the first whom Paul and Barnabas set aside to lead those early churches. We pray for our leaders, leaders of the churches, leaders of this church, Grace Church. We pray that we might be company together, fortifying each other for the way. Amen.